Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and coming up on March 10th is the Great Bear Chase, everybody's favorite ski race that takes place up in Calumet, and I'm happy to say I'll be there too as well. It was a few years ago, I was invited to do some announcing, and I'll be back there again this year, so going to have a lot of fun, and I know I'll have fun because I'll be with a good friend of mine. Angela Luskin is here. She is the health and fitness manager from UP Health System Portage. Angela, it's always good to see you.
You too, Rick. Thanks for having me.
It's a big ski race coming up, and are you still taking people to sign up for it?
We are, yes. So this is 38 years in the running for the Great Bear Chase, which, you know, for the history, it's just a great history, longstanding race at Sweettown Trails up in Calumet. And registrations are still open. There's several races. So we have three 50K distances. There's a skiathlon where they'll do 25K on freestyle skis and then 25K on classic. There's just a 50K freestyle, a 50K classic, and then we go down to the 25K distances, and there's a 25K freestyle race, a 25K classic race, and then two 10K races as well. So a 10K freestyle and a 10K classic. So a lot of different options, regardless which end of that spectrum you are, if you're marathon distance or, you know, the more recreational at the 10K, we really have something for everyone. And it's just a really good race. So online registration will be open through Wednesday, March 7th at midnight. And then we will do last minute registration on Friday at the Calumet High School. And that'll be from 4 to 8:30 p.m. So you won't have any option to register on Thursday. You know, we take that day, and that's the day that we're stuffing our racer bags and, you know, assigning bibs and all of that. So,
And speaking of stuffing, do you still do that carbo load on Friday?
The racer, the pasta meal, absolutely. And the Calumet Rotary is going to be putting on a fantastic pasta dinner at the Siskiwit this year. So a new venue for them. It'll be 4 to 8 p.m. It's $10 for a great all-you-can-eat pasta dinner.
Yeah, great place to have it too. Siskiwit Hall is amazing. More and more events are being held there. So
it is. It's absolutely beautiful and a great location.
But how many racers do you typically get in a year?
Sure. So the last 3 years, we've had record participation. Like 500 racers used to be the trend that the Great Bear Chase used to see. And last year we hit 730 racers.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible and it was awesome. And I really think this race is, it's just... the popularity is starting to spread. One of the things I always like to mention with the Great Bear Chase is that out of those 729 racers, 80% of them are from out of town. Out of town where, you know, they have to come in, they're, you know, spending the night in the hotels, they're eating at a restaurant. So it is really awesome to see, you know, so many people from out of town come to our area, and we'll be able to, you know, showcase the great things that we have here in the Copper Country.
This, of course, is a year where we have the Winter Olympics on television, always a popular event. And I'm wondering, you know, when you have like, you know, big event like that, does it sort of spike participation? I mean, sure, it certainly has to encourage people to get outdoors, and, you know, maybe you're not going to go and jump on a snowboard if you've never been one and do a couple flips in the air, but you might want to get out on the trails and, you know, just try some skiing, even if it's, you know, some classic snow, you know, cross-country skiing like I'm capable of doing, or what I see some other people out there doing, like the skate style skiing.
Yes.
You know, pretty neat. I don't think I could do it, but other people can and do it quite well and have a good time.
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't hurt for those extra motivating factors, right? The other thing that really helps us for numbers that tends to lead to record numbers, we're always 2 weeks after the Berkey. And typically, we are the last race of the season, and we're the only area that typically still has enough snow to hold the race. So that's one of the things that are, you know, largely in our favor for the Great Bear Chase.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have to worry about there not being enough snow in Sweettown, you know, in a couple of weeks.
So we just saw a update today, and I believe there's over 30 inches of base on the trail. So, well, we should be quite fine. But I don't want to jinx us.
Yeah, you've even had the times where it's been quite warm and it's still possible to ski. I mean, as the snow quality begins to deteriorate, but you still have plenty of snow.
Absolutely. So in the 38 years of the Great Bear Chase, it's only been canceled twice. And one of those years was because of a bad windstorm that came through and knocked down a bunch of trees. So they had enough snow, but, you know, they just didn't have a way to pick up all of the trails. So we've got a pretty good record. I'd hate to see 1 year, you know, that it would be canceled, but we've had some warm conditions We have an amazing team that that works the best they can to make that race happen no matter what.
For those that do want to participate in the race, is there a fee structure for them?
There is, yes. And prices increase, I believe, on March 1st. So you have until March 1st before those prices increase. And then it'll increase again the Friday before the race. So if somebody's, you know, really considering it, it's a good idea to register early. You get a better bib number as well, too, you know, the earlier that you register. Just last year, we switched to cloth bibs, which was a pretty, you know, big step up for the Great Bear Chase, and we'll be redoing that again this year. So yeah, we like people to register as soon as they can.
But it's worth it, because there's also, if you are, you know, very competitive and you want to get a shot at winning this, there's some rewards.
There are, yeah. So the 50K Skiathlon actually has prize money, cash prize money. So that's exciting. And then in your entry fee too, you get some memorabilia. So this year it happens to be a nice Swix hat, great black hat that looks really, really nice. And of course, there's the famous pasty luncheon that's included too. I think a lot of racers specifically do the Great Bear Chase just for that amazing pasty luncheon. There's pasties and soup and tons of bakery. So that's a big deal too. And we have a lot of awards. I believe there's well over 300 age group medals that get given out. So, and custom awards too. So lots of great things that are included in that entry fee.
Well, you mentioned the age groups. How low does the age go?
So it depends on the race, but especially for that 10 and 25K, we have some lower age groups that go well below 16, like 14 to 16 years old. For the 50K, we want people to be at least 17 years old to do that distance, but younger participants are absolutely welcome in the other races.
50K, what is that in miles? If I was driving that?
It is a marathon. It's a full marathon distance, so that's a lot. Can you imagine doing that on skis?
No.
And a lot of people love to do it, so it's exciting to watch, too. So, you know, if someone maybe out there listening is not interested in participating in the race, it's a great spectating event. We are on just off of Spruce Street in Calumet, and it's really exciting. We have this stadium area, and there's banners up and fencing everywhere. So it looks really, really neat, and announcing and music. So that is really fun to watch. And on the other side of that, we need volunteers too. And this race takes nearly 200 volunteers to make happen. And we're quite a bit short right now, which is usually typical. Most people don't like to commit to volunteering until the race gets closer. But I would urge you, if you have that Saturday, either Friday, March 9th or Saturday, March 10th available, they're 2 to 3 hour shifts. We could really, really use the help. And there's indoor volunteer positions and outdoor volunteer positions as well. Excitement all around, no matter which one, you know, that you choose. But we need help for aid stations, help at the banquet, result printing at the finish line. So lots and lots of different positions that are open. And you can see all of that information on our website, greatbearchase.com. And I'll give my phone number out there, too, in case people don't have internet access. It's 483-1153.
And we've mentioned before, when you volunteer, you don't necessarily have to volunteer for the entire day, you know, from starting off early morning and going in the afternoon. If you want to help with setup, you can do that and be done and watch the rest of the race, or you can, you know, come out and be a spectator and then help tear down, or, you know, just participate. You're not going to turn people away, you know, as much help as they're willing to give.
Yes. And there are quite a few people that will race the race on Saturday, but they still volunteer, like Friday at registration, or like you said, setting up or taking down. So we will take any help that we can get. And like you mentioned too, it's not for long increments of time either. Most shifts are 2 to 3 hours.
For those that are coming and spectating, where do you go? You mentioned Spruce Street, because you don't go to the normal chalet where you know, you might go and head out to the trails at Sweet Town. It's a different location.
It is, yes. But if you head past the Sweet Town Chalet, which is on Osceola Road, there is a street. It's the first left after the Sweet Town Chalet, and there's signs everywhere. We do a really good job of posting up signs all throughout Calumet, you know, as you're coming in on the highway and by the chalet. And there's parking. We'll have parking assistants there to help park. And then it's just a short walk into the stadium area where the race starts and finishes.
It's good to know, because I wouldn't want to get lost when I'm trying to go out there. Now, with all the skiers on their trails, what about for people who are normally using the trails for that day? Do they have to be aware of anything?
Yes. Actually, the entire Sweetown course or trails are actually closed during the Great Bear Chase. They reopen about 3 p.m. that day. And, you know, the reason that we do that is the Great Bear Chase is a fundraiser. And it's a fundraiser for the Sweetown Trails. So every single cent that comes in for the race that's not used to put on the race goes back to the Sweetown Trails. And that's for grooming, upkeeping the trails in the winter and in the, you know, the rest of the season as well, fall and summer. So it is really important to be off of the trails so that we can keep it open for those 700 plus racers.
Once again, for registration information or volunteering, where's the best place to go? You gave some information out earlier, giving you another chance to do that.
Absolutely. So greatbearchase.com is a fantastic place to go. All of the event details are there. If you're interested in participating, there's a great race guide there too that explains detailed information for all of the racers. And then there's a volunteer tab too. And that's where you can simply fill out a request form there, and someone will get back to you shortly to volunteer. And then you can also give me a call at 483-1153.
Of course, any kind of skiing or snowshoeing, that type of outdoor activity, that's great exercise, but there are other ways to be able to make sure that you are getting your, you know, enough exercise. And you know, we're into, you know, end of February here in these long winter months that have just dragged on. And if you're anything like me, you haven't done anywhere near the exercising you had hoped to do. Let's talk a little bit about ways to get involved in exercising, and also the myths that may keep people from exercising or doing the wrong thing altogether. I find a lot of these sometimes interesting. One of the ones is that you don't have enough time to exercise. And it is hard for anybody that's working, that you think, how much time do I need? Just running to the gym after work and something could take an hour and a half extra time before you get home. So we can talk about ways to exercise, you know, to fit it into your day. One way that we are doing at home is, you know, I would go to the gym quite often. I'm usually to ride a bike or use one of the machines there. It's easiest on my back. I've had back issues, so you can't mm-hmm. exercise with back issues. But for me, there was this getting off of work and then saying, well, do I want to be home in 20 minutes or do I want to be home in an hour and a half? Right. Well, obviously, a lot of days you just want to head on home. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we're looking at is we took a room out of the house that we had and moved some stuff out there that we never used. We had a desk in this room with a desktop computer that had not been fired up in probably 3 years. I have a laptop. I never go in there, to use right. that. And a bookcase, which was like a third bookcase in the house. We didn't need to have an extra bookcase in there. So we started moving all this stuff out, and then we have one exercise bike in there already. We have another one in the shed that's buried with the snow. So there's no way to get that out until spring. But the idea is have two exercise bikes in this spare room that we weren't using for anything mm-hmm. else. There's a television in there. We can put music on in there. And then instead of having to go to the gym,
right.
And getting home, for some people, that's the only way they motivate, because mm-hmm. if they go home, then they, they hit the couch and they don't do any exercising and they have to go to the gym. So I'm not saying going to the gym is a bad thing, because
right.
it definitely is good. But for, when they say, well, I don't have a whole lot of time to go. Well, you go home and then 30 minutes of your day is added. And then, it's not really even taking you away from something, because one of the things I like to do is usually just sit and kind of a conversation with one person mm-hmm. I haven't seen since yesterday at
right.
home, and you can do it and have, a little bit of fun. So there's one myth.
Absolutely. And I think you touched on a lot of points there. And one of the most important things is finding something that works, right? Especially with, everyone has time constraints right now. So, what works for each individual, and finding yourself, you get time with your wife, you're both exercising, and then you have that buddy system too for the two of you. Like I said, if someone isn't feeling too motivated that day, you have somebody else to help encourage you to do that. So you know, with the myth about having no time, it really is about prioritizing, right? What are our priorities? And if exercise is high enough up on that priority list, then we will fit it in. And I think, you know, trying to get over the myth that you have to exercise for 60, 90 minutes, you don't. Any little bit helps. So even if I can find 2 15-minute slots in my day, that is sufficient. So, you know, again, 2 15-minute spots. How many of us can, you know, squeeze that in? If we're, you know, if we're working and we have a hour lunch, those that do get lunch breaks, you know, 15 minutes to take a walk, to climb the stairs up and, you know, down in our facility if we have stairs. A lot of people, even at the hospital during their lunch break, they're walking around, you know, throughout the halls, just trying to get a few extra steps in too. There's the mall as an option if people need to drive somewhere to do free exercise where it's not going to cost you anything. So, you know, those are just a few things that you could do. You know, we've all heard it many, many times before too, about when we go grocery shopping, park further away, you know, take the stairs instead of the elevator. I know those sound corny and we've heard them time and time again, but they make a difference. They really, truly do.
One thing on the nutrition side is people who are trying to lose weight and they start dieting. Well, one of the things is they'll stop eating. You know, they'll be like, well, if I just don't have anything for breakfast, or maybe if I skip lunch, you know, then, you know, I'm doing my body a favor because you're not eating. And actually it's the opposite. You're one, teaching your body to go into starvation mode. And then typically if you wait that long, you're going to eat a whole lot more than you need when you're done.
Exactly. That metabolism actually slows down. So if you were to eat and get moving, that metabolism speeds up, and then you're going to burn more calories, right? But if I do not eat breakfast and I go into that starvation mode, my metabolism slows down. I'm burning less calories. It's really a lose-lose. You know, you want to fuel your body regularly throughout the day with making good choices. And then you can also increase that metabolism by fitting some exercise in, which will help us burn more calories as well.
Now, I have a, you know, as anybody who knows me, my schedule is sort of really strange. You get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, start work at 3. And so, you know, I don't eat breakfast at that time. You know, right. There's no way I could eat breakfast at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then my day kind of gets going. And if I'm not careful, I can go through and be like, get off at lunchtime or around noon and be starving. So a couple of things that I do, one, if you see kind of over my right shoulder is a couple of jars of peanuts. Mm-hmm. So that it, you know, I can make sure that I get a little bit of protein and basically a hand snack.
Yeah.
And you know, so I'm starting off and I start feeling that, you know, the stomach rumble a little mm-hmm. bit, but yet I can't stop and eat a big meal. So I had the peanuts. And then in my lunch, literally, and it's my people that know, like I'm a big guy. My lunch is one fruit, one vegetable. So it's an apple or an orange, and then usually either cauliflower or broccoli. And then when I get off of work, which is typically around noon, hopefully, we have our dinner as the lunch, you know, in like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon is when we have dinner, so that we have a light thing later on in the day, because I go to bed about 8. And what was happening, what we found is that we were eating our dinner at 6 and then being really full and then trying to go to sleep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because we didn't have that time. And I found it'd be a whole lot better to, you know, if you are somebody that has to go to bed really early, you know, we'll have your dinner earlier. Or, mm-hmm. you know, in our case, we have our dinner instead of, you know, like, you know, at 1 o'clock, we'll cook dinner. Then, you know, it's a little easier, certainly on the stomach, you know, than not be sleeping with the full belly.
Right. Absolutely. You know, those are all, and I think what you're doing, Rick, you're doing these important things that fit for your lifestyle, right? Because not everybody's lifestyle is the same. You have to fit in what you can. You know, you have to change your eating habits, especially, you know, based for you when you get up at 2 a.m. That's not a normal day for, you know, most people. So you have to do what works for you. And the same with the exercise too. You have to learn, you know, healthy habits that can fit into your lifestyle.
A lot of people are fooled by myths of advertising when something says mm-hmm. that it's diet, whether right. it's diet soda or it says healthy on the packaging and, you know, or low sugar or right. sugar-free.
Non-fat, mm-hmm. low-fat. Right. There are so many labels out there right now, right? And you almost have to, you know, just flip over that package and you have to look at the ingredients, right? And you're looking to avoid sugar. You want to look for those first three to five ingredients that they're healthy. Whole grain, if you are looking at bread. You know, sugar has other names that it's hidden in too, like fructose, sucrose. So you really want to, you know, check those labels, make sure that you're picking good things and try to keep it. You know, one of the things too you could do is try to pick it as natural as we can, right? For those food choices, as less processed as you can. So I'm thinking as you were telling me, the handful of snacks that you're grabbing with the peanuts, those are great, but can we sometimes do almonds? What about string cheese? Yogurt with, again, the yogurt, we have to be careful with the high sugar added too. So looking at those options, having the fruit and the vegetables as snacks are great.
Greek yogurt significantly better than regular yogurt?
You know, I haven't really dove into the yogurt.
Because I know for area, the protein, they have a lot more protein. Is. And if you're looking, like me, it used to be that my lunch was leftover dinner, that we would always make a larger dinner than we were going to eat. And then until the next day would come, and again, of course, with this kind of a skewed schedule, come 9, 10 o'clock, I was eating, chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes, at 9 o'clock in the morning. Everybody else just showing up to work would look at me like I'm really strange. But, tasted great, got real full and then real tired.
Yes.
And that was one of the things we wanted to, I wanted to cut out. It's like, that's an extra meal I'm eating every day, when I don't need, my body doesn't need chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes at 9 o'clock in the morning,
Right. So yeah, trying to have those easy snacks on hand, but then you have to remember that you're looking for serving size too, right? So I'm not taking a half a cup of peanuts when I eat them. So there's a lot of things to be cautious of, but it's just every day making, a little bit more steps towards that healthier lifestyle and I guess educating ourselves as much as we can.
Now, is it really so bad for you to have, a dessert or to, cheat a little bit and have a snack?
Rick, my feeling is everything in moderation. That's truly what I believe in. It's what I stand for and it's what I preach. Because if I said I could never have any chocolate or chips, which are my two biggest downfalls, I just set myself up for failure then. Because I could go a little stretch without it, but then I just, that craving is there and I just give in. So, but if I can lead myself and say, Angela, if you eat well 80% of the time, 20% of the time, doesn't have to be perfect. And that's what I live by. Each day I make, little changes too, or little things that I'm thinking of. For instance, last Friday we had plans to go out for dinner. So I knew my calorie intake was going to be much higher than if I were to stay home and cook dinner that night. But throughout the week then, I watched what I ate. I was very conscious. I knew, that I'd be indulging on Friday. So, I was more careful. And that is how I guess, stay consistent.
I was wondering if that would, something similar would fall into those categories of myths, because I know some people who count calories as a tool for watching what they eat, they'll be like, I can have that donut because then I'll just work out an extra few minutes, trying to burn that out. It's going, well, does it really work that way? I mean, it's great that you want to have, they want to have the donut, whatever, but, is it a zero-sum game if you're like, I ate an extra, 500 calories, so I'll work out an extra 10 minutes.
So it does come down, if we're just watching weight loss or, our weight, it really is calories in, calories out. So if I consume too many calories and I'm not expending those calories, I'm going to gain weight, or vice versa for a deficit. But you also have to be conscious of what we put into our body, right? How is that donut going to provide me with nutrition and those vitamins and minerals, and all of that great stuff that I need to be healthy? Donut's not going to give me that. So like starving myself all day so that I can have a donut at night, if I'm counting those calories, is not a healthy option. But occasionally having a donut, absolutely. Maybe a quarter of a donut or a half a donut, but a donut every day for breakfast, not a good idea.
Well, what if the donut has fruit filling?
Loaded with sugar. I did have last Tuesday, or the Tuesday of Fat Tuesday, one of her staff was saying something about she was going to eat a poochie. Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm going to eat one, but they give me a headache every time. And sure enough, she ate a poochie and she felt horrible afterwards with a headache. And
oh, well, what do they give her a headache?
I think that the, just the sugar.
Just the sugar.
The sugar content when she's an individual that's not used to that high quantity of sugar. Really got sick from it.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, about these topics when we get together, and for somebody that's looking for some good solid information, whether they're looking to talk to somebody or look it up on the web or some, is there, what's a good place to go? Because there's a lot of information out there.
There is, and just type in Google, you know, best diet out there. That's not gonna give us great hits out there or good information. So you really have to be cautious of where you are looking. So I would say if you are on the internet, some of the good sites, Mayo Clinic also has wonderful sites for health-related information. But then there's also, if anyone on the exercise side has heard of ACE, American Council on Exercise, they really are one of the gold standards out there for exercise information. So those are two good sites. But just, you know, do your reference checks. Make sure it's a reputable source. And you know, just do your homework. As far as local places to go, you know, there are experts throughout this community that, you know, focus on exercise or nutrition. You know, for instance, UP Health System Portage has two registered dietitians that are there for information, and they will often speak at different events that we have, and a lot of them are free to the public. So when you see those offerings in the community, take advantage, you know, get that information, ask the sources, ask the experts.
All right, my guest has been Angela Luskin, the Health and Fitness Manager for UP Health System Portage. Don't forget the Great Bear Chase on March 10th. Go to greatbearchase.com to register, to volunteer, or for more information. Angela, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.